In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, I didn't tell Verna this morning, so she's not going to have it up on the screen. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you know, your cell phones are a wonderful tool because you can download so many different Bible apps and you always have your Bible with you no matter what. Because I know you don't leave home without your cell phone. That's like the worst thing ever, right? So you have your Bible. I mean, we'll drive miles to get our cell phone back because we think it's a necessity. I remember when my wife and I were young, and I mean, we didn't know what cell phones were, you know, when I was in high school. You know, you just, you know, that was just, you had one that hung on the wall, you know, and some of them you had to rotate this round thing, and some of them you had to push a button, and, you know, you could only go so far in the house because the cord was only so long. Unless you got the extended line, and then you could go into the other room, you know, long as nobody tripped over it and jerked it out of your hand. But those were the good old days. Those were cell phones. But I never thought about leaving my cell phone because I never had one, you know. And nowadays, you know, if I run off and forget my cell phone at home, you know, I'm like, it's like a panic. You know, I'm like, somebody may call me. I may miss something on Facebook. I may not get that, you know, email. Isn't it amazing? The things we get caught up in, you know. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul addresses the Thessalonian Christians. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't extinguish the Holy Spirit. And that really speaks to me because it's easy for us to get sidetracked by the things in this world causing us to lose our passion for the things of God and allowing the flames of our faith to become mere embers. And if we're to live lives that are pleasing and acceptable to God, you know, if we're to carry out that purpose that God gave us, then we need to keep that flame burning. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you want to keep the house warm, what do? If you got a wood stove, you keep the fire going, right? Because if you don't, it'll go out. And then you just go through the motions. Things just seem cold. And, you know, we live in a cold, dark world. And when Jesus comes into your life, when you believe in Him and you accept Him into your life, He builds this, kindles this flame within you. Because the Holy Spirit is now living within you. The presence of God Almighty is living in you. And so this flame begins to burn. And what Paul is saying, don't quench that Spirit. Don't let that flame go out. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit to fall on us and set us on fire. It's not just a one-time thing. It's that every day kindling that fire, just like I talked about the wood stove. I remember as a kid, we had a wood stove. And for many years, my wife and I burned wood. And you have to keep it going. All the time, it's something you have to do to keep that fire going. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. That's why it's so important that we read our Bibles, and that we pray daily, not just weekly. It's something we do every day. It's part of who we are now. Jesus said, wants to let your light shine. Like a city on a hill, let those lights shine, that fire burning within you, that when people see you, they know that, man, there's something different about that person, something glowing about that person, and it's all because of Jesus living within you. That's what's different about you. You know, my prayer today is set us on fire with a passion for Christ and His Word. I want us all to have a passion for Christ and His Word, that we desire to read His Word. We desire to hear His Word. I love to hear good preaching. I really do. It's just something I like to hear it. It doesn't, you know, it just comes, I just enjoy it. I like, I like the fire burning within me. I like to feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit living within me. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, when we get around a campfire when it's cold outside, man, doesn't it feel so good? And we're attracted to it. And that's the Holy Spirit living within us. It's attractive. It's warming. It's something we want to stay close to. Because we know when we move away from it is when our life starts to get cold. So let's pray this morning to set us on fire, Lord. Set us on fire. You know, as Americans, we're passionate about a lot of things. Man, we're passionate about sports. Man, we'll go to a ball game and we'll shout. Man, we'll jump up and down and make all kinds of noise, especially when our team hits a home run or gets a score, you know, on base or whatever. Man, those excite us, doesn't it? Man, you guys are a rough crowd this morning. I know you guys. I've seen you at ball games before. Sometimes we can act like idiots. I mean, jumping up and down, especially when it's our kid, shouting, you know, yelling at each other. You know, I mean, I wonder, why can't we have that passion in church?
Amen.
That same passion, you know. God gave us that ability to do that, you know. I mean, like food. That's another passion we have. Man, we like to eat. We like good food. And sometimes we got a passion for that food. I mean, nothing like, you know, hot apple pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yes, amen.
You know, or peach cobbler, you know. Or cherry pie. That's one of my favorites. Man, I'm telling you, we just get all giddy inside when that comes out on the table, or a big thick steak from Texas Roadhouse. Man, I'm getting hungry. I think I got a gift card from Texas Roadhouse. What, do they open early today? See, I mean, we get excited about things like that. Why can't we get excited about God like that? Why can't we, you know, get that giddy, get that excited about coming to church or reading our Bible or witnessing to somebody? Ooh, that's a big one. That's hard. You know, there was a guy by the name of Larry Crabb wrote a book called Finding God. And he says this: the core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but that we are not passionate enough about the good things. You know, eating's not bad. We like to eat, and it's good for us. I mean, we have to live. I mean, we like sports, and there's nothing wrong with sports. But why can't we give God the same passion that we give everything else? 1 Chronicles. You know, God, let me go back here just a second. God's greatest commandment is found in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. He says to love our God with all of our being, or all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. We need to love God with everything that we have. All of us, from the deepest parts of us, we love God. All of our passions, all of our desires, all of our actions should display how much we love God. Does that make sense? 1 Chronicles 29, verses 17 through 19 says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in the uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now, with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Man, I love that scripture. Can we not pray that for our own families? For our own friends? You know, you can't develop a passion for Christ without knowing Him, first of all. You have to know Christ to have a passion for Christ. And you cannot know Him without spending time with Him. You can't spend time with Him without hearing His Word. And you cannot hear His Word without realizing how awesome Christ is. Because He is. You cannot realize how awesome Christ is without Christ moving in your heart. And you cannot have Christ move in your heart without it resulting in you loving Him even more. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? And you cannot love Him without having a passion to know more about Him. The more you know about Christ, it just works in your life and it just manifests itself into a passion, this fire that's built within you. In Luke 24:32, it says this, "And they said to one another, did our heart not burn within us while He talked with us on the road, and while He opened the Scriptures to us?" I love that. Does your heart burn when you hear the Word of God within your heart? To have a passion for Christ, we must have a passion for His Word. And we need to make daily Bible study a perpetual habit. And it is a habit we have to develop. It's not easy to find time. And I understand family life and work life. I understand I did it for many, 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 many years. It's hard sometimes to fit all that in. But let me tell you, you can. You can if you make it a habit in your life, because you can give up something that gives you that time. And I won't mention TV, because that's a big one. Because we like watching TV. And then next thing you know, 15 minutes is, you know, an hour and a half, and 2 hours goes by, and the next thing you know, it's bedtime. And we could have taken 15 minutes just to read a couple scriptures and maybe say some prayers. Amen. And that's a habit we all have to develop. As much as it needs to be as much of a part of our life as eating every day. Because it sustains our life. Just like food sustains our life, so does Christ and His Word. Peter tells us in the first epistle that we are to earnestly desire or to pursue with love the milk of God's Word. When we read God's words as it is God's love letter, you know, that's what it is. It's God's love letter to us. From Genesis to Revelation, it shows and displays how God loves us and how He wants to redeem us. He desires a relationship with each and every one of us. He wants to hide it within our hearts. And when you do, it will transform us with this burning desire, a desire to make His Word known to others. In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of Him, nor speak any more in His name. But His Word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back." He didn't even have to say the words off his lips because the fire was burning so strongly within him, he could not hold it back any longer. I love that. Set us on fire with a passion for the lost. If we're in a constant communion with the Lord Jesus, we'll increasingly share His concern and develop a passion for souls. Do we really want to see people get saved? Do we really want to see people get saved? Every man, it seems like in this world, it's every man for himself. Amen, young man. That's awesome. I could quit preaching now. Amen. It seems like we're caught up in the every man for himself. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Can you say that you have an intense burning passion for people, for souls that are lost? And how much real concern have we for those who are without knowledge of a Savior? Paul's heart was broken and he bled for the loss of Israel. In Romans chapter 10, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." My heart's desire, he says. In Romans 9, 1 and 3, he says, "I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, "that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh." Paul said, I would give up myself to see my brethren saved. Can we say that we would give up ourselves to see our neighbor saved? Most of us could say that about our family and our kids and our spouses, our loved ones, but can we say that about the stranger on the street? Can we say that about the neighbor that yells at us when we mow too close to the property line? Dwight L. Moody, he was in London during one of his famous evangelistic tours. Many of you probably heard of Dwight Moody. He was a backwoods, uneducated preacher, couldn't speak very well, kind of stuttered in his speech. But he was a great deliverer of the Word of God, and people just loved him and they followed him. But the British clergymen came to listen to him, and they wanted to know how and why this poorly educated American was so effective in winning people to Christ. And Moody took the three men to the window of his hotel room and asked each in turn what they saw. And one by one, the men described to the people in the park below. Then Moody looked out the window with tears rolling down his cheeks, and he says, and one of the parishioner men asked him, "What do you see, Mr. Moody?" He said, "I see countless of thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find a Savior." That's the difference. The passion, the understanding. D.L. Moody saw people differently than the average observer, and these were pastors. And because he saw eternal souls where others saw just people strolling in the park, Moody approached life with a different agenda. Today in this world, if we are to win people to Christ, we must have a passion for souls, a burden for those who are traveling on to a Christless eternity. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Let me tell you, you know, in our missionary services, usually it's always asked right off the bat, "Who here is a missionary? Who here is a missionary?" See, we're all missionaries.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this question this morning. Who here's a preacher? Who here's a preacher?
Randy.
We're all preachers. But it's not just me. It's all of us. We're to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. And that's what it says in the scripture when Jesus was ascending. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach, teach them to observe my commands. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of us. We proclaim the gospel. And how would somebody ever get saved if we don't tell them about Jesus? How can anybody ever know the love of Christ if we don't share and show them what Christ did for us? Amen? Man, Christ saved me. That means something to me. What's it mean to be saved? Can we ask that? What's it mean to be saved? God set it up in a way that most of us really don't understand, but I believe in the Creator that created all things, and He knew that we needed somebody to stand in the gap for us because we weren't worthy of anything. And that's why He sent Christ. And then Christ said, go and proclaim my gospel that I've told you. First Corinthians 9:16 says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He's saying it's a necessity for me to preach. And woe is me if I don't. A passion for souls will reveal itself in several ways. Soul winning will become the main business of our lives. And if we have this passion, we shall share the Spirit of Christ. We will share that with everyone that we meet. And our service for Christ will be watered with tears. Do you shed tears for loved ones? Do you shed tears for people in this world who don't know Christ? If our loved ones are desperately ill, we shed many tears for them. We pray for them. We go out of our way to help them. Yet, when men and women are dead in their transgressions and in their sins, we walk right past people every day who don't know Christ and they're destined for hell because they've not accepted Christ into their life. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from Him for eternity. That's not His desire. It's not our desire either. We should be willing to lose our lives for the sake of others. Jesus did that. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus did that. Paul did that. And all the disciples did that as well, except for one. But he gave most of it. He died once. Maybe twice. They were all martyred for the sake of the gospel. But sometimes we won't even go out of our way to say one word to somebody. Now you guys are all getting sad faced on me. You know, the gospel, the message of Christ is real. But it should be a joyous thing. It should be an exciting thing. It should be a passionate thing. Set us on fire with a passion for holiness. Amen. That we would deliberately avoid or we would abstain from all sinful behavior. In Job 1:1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz, or Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, he deliberately avoided evil. That's what that word means. He had an intense desire to be holy. Oh, that we would have a desire to be holy, to live a holy life, to live a godly life. If we have a true passion for Christ, we will have a passion for holiness that loves righteousness and hates sin. We're all capable of sinning. All of us. But it is not our desire to sin. Amen.
Amen.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is not our desire. Our passion is to live righteous lives and to live a right way that's consistent with the Word of God, with what pleases God. That's what the Scripture tells us about what pleases God and what doesn't please God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Hungering and thirsting signifies a genuine, continual craving of the soul. And he's not referring to an occasional desire to be right, but a passionate craving for that which is right. Man, there's a lot of bent rights today. Things that they want to manipulate and say is right, but we know that is the contrary is wrong. Because it's within us, we know. People don't even have to tell you, but you know deep within you. In your life right now, what are you hungering and thirsting after? What's your desires? What's your passions right now? Where is your heart at today? Is it for Christ? Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Praise Christ for that. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. I've got that one down. That ye should show forth the priest of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I like that. If you love God this morning, you will hate sin. The degree that you love God is the degree that you hate sin, though. We must realize that God hates sin. He hates it. We must also come to hate sin in the same way. You know, you can hate sin and still love people.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody ever tell you you can't. That's the way God looks at us. God hates sin, but He still loves you.
Amen.
He loves you more than you love yourself. But He may not agree with what you're doing. Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Here in a moment, we're going to have a baptismal service and we're going to celebrate that giving up, that dying out to an old self and taking on that new creation, becoming that new creature in Christ. Beautiful, beautiful. The giving up of the old man, the old woman, and taking on that new. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord, as it is sharper than a two-edged sword at times. But Lord, it's so beautiful. Lord, strike a fire within us, rekindle us, help us to build that flame that just, we can't hold it back. It's just burning deep into our bones. Lord, help us be the church that you want us to be. Not what the world wants us to be, but what you want us to be. Lord, let us be a people with a passion for lost souls. Lord, help us. Lord, guide and direct us through today and through the rest of this week. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has never felt your Holy Spirit in their life, has never accepted you, Lord, that they make that commitment today. And if you're here this morning and you desire to want to know more about Christ, I could just invite you to come right now. I gave my life to Christ right here at these altars, right here in front of us. 1993, October. I'll never forget that day. The day that changed my life forever. So if you're here this morning and God is tugging at your heart, just say, Lord, I believe in you. I know you're real. Be my Savior. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.